Well, here we are on a Monday, and boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about. Awesome. Absolutely awesome Monday. We start with the Raiders, 3-1 through 4 games, 3 road wins. I thought if they went 2-2, that would be great, but they certainly did a lot better than 2-2, getting a road win yesterday in Baltimore. So this team still has not played anywhere near its best football, in my opinion, and they're 3-1. So obviously, that is a big-time positive. You know, they're still making mistakes. Excuse me. They're still, in my opinion, not playing defensively as well as they're going to. This is a real positive sign if you're a Raiders fan that they're able to go out and win when they don't play their A football. Now, there are aspects of their team that I look at and I say, okay, what a major improvement. First and foremost, when they walk onto the field, they truly expect to win, and you can kind of sense that with this team. They don't panic. You know, they don't really magnify mistakes. You got to love what you see from the Oakland Raiders, because they last year right now, the Raiders would be 1-3. They wouldn't be 3-1. This team's growing up. This team has matured. This team is clearly, all right, on its way, barring injury, to a lot of good football for a lot of years to come. So, again, if you are a fan of the Oakland Raiders, it's been long overdue. Long overdue. A quarter of the season is in the books, and your team is 3-1, coming home to take on a couple of divisional games in back-to-back week. So we'll talk about that at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The 49ers are just awful. They're just terrible. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. They're just a bad, bad, bad football team, period. They're not going to win too many more games this year. They're just pathetic. And the news got worse. Navarro Bowman out for the rest of the year as he has ruptured his Achilles. Boy, that's terrible. I mean, that is absolutely terrible. We're going to talk with our 49ers. It's just a bad football team, period. They are just a bad team. I have no idea how they beat the L.A. Rams 28-0. Raise your hand if you can figure that out, because the Rams have not lost since that opening 28-0 defeat. Think about this. This team is now 3-1, and they beat the Arizona Cardinals. Raise your hands if you had the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals starting the season at 1-3. How about that? The Atlanta Falcons are on absolute fire offensively. How about Matt Ryan throwing for 503 yards? How about Julio Jones, you know, having over 300 yards in receiving yardage? How about this team that lost in week one to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, and now they've won 3 in a row. When you figure out the NFL, raise your hand and let me know. This is unbelievable. All right, speaking of the NFL, we've got Monday Night Football coming up for you tonight. We're going to be getting you to the beautiful news for the Giants and the Vikings. We'll be getting you there in about an hour and 45 minutes. Well, the Giants are in. Nothing easy with the Giants, but they were able to sweep the Dodgers. And so now it will be Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard, pitching on Wednesday. The winner will advance on to take on the Chicago Cubs. If you're a Giants fan, you have to be very encouraged that you have Madison Bumgarner on the hill, and he has not lost a postseason start. And in 7 postseason starts, he's got a road ERA, okay, a road ERA of .06, all right? This guy on the road in the postseason, you basically can't score off him. Now, I don't think Madison Bumgarner has been as good as he's been in the past, and I think most would agree. But, boy, if you're a Giants, if you're on the Giants and you know that you got Madison going to the hill in a winner-take-all game, I would think you'd have to feel pretty good about that. So the Giants get in. They'll take on the Mets in New York. I don't think home field means anything at all unless the game is tied going into the 9th inning. You know, I think it's always an advantage in a tied ball game once it gets to the 9th inning to have your last licks. But other than that, I don't think it matters. Other baseball news today: the Rockies have fired Walt Weiss after 4 years. The Diamondbacks fire their general manager Dave Stewart and their manager Chip Hale. The Marlins have fired Barry Bonds as the hitting coach. The White Sox have fired Robin Ventura, and they're going to replace him with Rick Renteria. So, some other news in baseball: you got the Orioles and the Blue Jays in the AL wild card. Chris Tillman against Marcus Stroman, and again, Bumgarner and Syndergaard are coming up for you in the NL wild card. And if that's not enough, we got the Sacramento Kings for you, as tomorrow they will be at the Pond in Anaheim taking on the L.A. Lakers. We'll have that game for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. It is preseason game number one. And then on Thursday, they will be in San Jose to take on the Golden State Warriors before they have their first home game a week from tonight at the beautiful, absolutely stunning Golden One Center. So we got a lot of things we're going to talk about. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The news is in, as you know, on Darren Collison. He is going to be suspended 8 games by the NBA, which means, you know, when the Kings are on the road for most of the first part of the season, the first couple of weeks, he will not be available. He can practice with the team, but he is not eligible to play, so he will miss the first 8 games. And, you know, when you look at the first 8 games, you start off in Phoenix, you come home the next night and play San Antonio, then you play Minnesota, and then you got that 5-game road trip starting on Halloween night in Atlanta, and then after that you go to Miami. And so it is what it is, you know. I mean, I think that when you look at Darren Collison and his 8-game suspension, based on what I know about the case, based on what I know about the way the NBA was investigating this and the way they used their due diligence in waiting and getting all the facts, I'm not surprised at all that it's 8 games. I know a lot of people thought it was going to be much more than that. I never thought that it was going to be more than that. I thought it would be between 5 and 10 based on what I know about the case and based on that this is a first-time offender and based on, you know, other players that have had similar incidents in which they have been suspended for. So Darren Collison out 8 games. Tomorrow in Anaheim, I'll certainly talk with the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager, about how that impacts the way he plans on coaching the rest of this preseason. Darren Collison obviously has to play, but you got to figure that, you know, he's going to go with Ty Lawson. He's going to go with Garrett Temple. He's going to figure out other combinations at the point guard because 8 games is a long time. It is a long time not to be playing. So if you want to comment on that, again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. All right, back to football for a moment. You talk with the Raiders. They go on the road. You could see how bad of an offensive team Baltimore is, and yet, you know what? They allowed, you know, that turnover really hurt where the Ravens were able to score 2 touchdowns in just a couple of minutes. But again, the Raiders with a lot of poise. You know, again, you get an act of stupidity after a 2-point conversion in which a player thinks that he's better than the team. He doesn't care about the team and gets a stupid 15-yard penalty for taunting or unsportsmanlike. You see it every game. No, not every game. You see it every week in a lot of games. It's just mind-boggling to me. It really is. We saw it yesterday in the Cowboys 49ers game. I don't get it. What is wrong with these players? I mean, how hard is it to act like a professional? You know the rules. Follow the rules. You know, you're going to cost your team a 15-yard penalty like that? Look how quickly the Raiders were able to get field position, move down the field, and win the game. It's incredible to me. It really is. Absolutely incredible how players, game in, game out, week in, week out, you know, are all about themselves. So let me get on SportsCenter. Let me bat my chest. Let me act like a moron. Let me taunt my opponent. Let me do something stupid. Let me cost my team 15 big yards because, you know what, it's all about me. It's not about the team. It's just incredible to me. It really is. And we see it every single week. We see it in college football, and we see it in the NFL. You know what happens? You know what should happen? All the coach needs to do the next time that happens, cut a player. It will never happen again. You'll never have an incident. Just cut the player, and that will stop the problem. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is absolutely unbelievable how this happens all the time, every week. Doesn't change. Here we are, week 4, and how many personal foul penalties did we see in the NFL yesterday, and how many of them were for taunting? It's just incredible. All right, back to the 49ers. I want to get in depth a little bit more in this game. You're up 14-0. You got all the momentum. And I know a lot of people think that the basically the, you know, roughing the passer or a late hit, the personal foul on a crucial third down in which the 49ers would have forced Dallas into a punt. The reality is the whistle is blown and the officials are going to call that. It may look like a patty cake type of a play, but they're going to call that. And so 15 yards, Cowboys keep the drive going. They score. Then they score again right before the half. They got all the momentum going into the locker room. You get Navarro Bowman gets hurt, ruptures his Achilles, and the 49ers were just pathetic in the second half. Absolutely pathetic. You know, Blaine Gabbert has got Torrey Smith wide open. All he's got to do is throw the ball in the middle of the field. He makes a bad pass. The ball is picked off. Now, the 49ers can't do anything right. I mean, what was the game plan? Let's stop the run. Because you don't have Dez Bryant, and yet you can't stop the run. Jason Witten is running like as if, you know, he's invisible out on the field. Nobody's covering him. I mean, anytime they need a big play, just throw the ball to 82. The 49ers with no pass rush, can't get to the quarterback, can't stop the run, can't stop the pass. They can't score. This is a bad football team, and they're not getting better anytime soon. I mean, really, I don't see how the 49ers are going to win four games this year. And I don't even know if they will win four games. Who are they going to beat? They're not beating the Rams again, I can guarantee you that. They're not beating Seattle, I can guarantee you that. And as bad as Arizona is, they're not beating Arizona. They may not win four games this year. They may not win four games. And then you can finally, you know, draft a good quarterback. Not that that's the entire issue with this team. But this, and we'll talk more with Matt Barrows coming up at 4 o'clock. The 49ers are flat-out awful. They're just absolutely awful. All right, other NFL games. Again, in watching the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer goes out late in the game with a concussion. But as I said, you're not winning with Carson Palmer as your quarterback. I don't know how many years I have to say that before someone will listen to me. If he's the quarterback, you're not winning, period. All right? So if you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, did I think you'd be 1-3? No, I did not. I thought this was a 10-12 win team, but then they would fall apart in the playoffs. Now it doesn't even look like they're going to make the playoffs. You'd be 3-9. I mean, if you L.A. Rams set thing up Monday Night Football and say playoffs. So they look like they had never played football before. That's how bad they were. And yet they go on and win three games in a row. I mean, it's amazing to me that the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers are 1-3, and Cam Newton looks lost. Looks lost. Absolutely looks lost out there. So, hey, guess what? We got a new NFL in 2016. You got teams like the Raiders and the Rams that are 3-1. And how bad was that game in London yesterday? Did anybody watch that game? Did anybody really, seriously get up at 6:30 in the morning to watch the Colts and the Jaguars play in London? They may have set football back 20 years over there in Great Britain. I mean, that is pathetic. All I got up, and I'm looking at them. First of all, I'm not even kidding you. I get up, and I'm not even aware that Jacksonville is playing Indianapolis. I totally forgot about it. Then I got a text at about 8:45. Someone said, boy, are you watching this Jaguars-Colts game? It may be the worst game I've ever seen. I totally forgot it was on. I flipped it on for, honestly, one play, and then I turned it right off, and then I started watching the pregame show at 9 o'clock. But, I mean, just looking at my Twitter line, that must have been some horrible football game, and that's what you get. That's what you get for having the Colts and the Jaguars play over in London. That's what you get. But don't worry. You got three more games to look forward to this year in London in a place, you know, where, yeah, go take your sport and move it over to London. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. It's as great of an idea as having the Raiders go to Mexico City on a Monday night to take on the Texans. That's just great. Just the stupidity of the NFL is mind-boggling. The scheduling of the NFL is mind-boggling. You know, we talked about the 49ers who opened up the season at home on a Monday night, and then they had to go all the way across the country to take on a Carolina team that had played on a Thursday night, which means they had a full 4 days of extra rest. Like, go figure. Like, is there not a way that the NFL can make the schedules more balanced? How about tonight? The New York Giants are in Minnesota. They're not at home. They're on the road taking on the Vikings in Minneapolis. Okay? The game will kick off at 8:30 Eastern time. The Giants will not land in Newark Airport until about 4 in the morning. All right? About 4 in the morning. Then this Sunday, they're playing at Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. You know who Green Bay played yesterday? They didn't play. They had a bye. So let's take a team that's on the road on a Monday night and have them go back on the road the following week to take on a team that's coming off a bye. And we see this every year in the National Football League. and it makes absolutely no sense to me. We can always talk about the scheduling of games, and you're going to tell me that there's not a red flag that pops up on someone's computer in New York when they're coming up with the schedule and says, oh boy, you know what? That's not right. It's not right to have the 49ers open up on a Monday and go to Pittsburgh like they did last year, or open up on a Monday and then go to Carolina. And both years, these teams had already played on Thursday, having four extra days off. Like, there's no red flag that pops up on the computer in the schedule makers of the NFL that says, you know what? That's just not right. It's ridiculous. And yet every single year, I talk about things like this. Every single season, I talk about the scheduling inequities, the things that just you scratch your head and you go, now, wait a minute. How on earth could the league justify that? You're telling me that you can't find another team to play Carolina in week two? You got to take a team that played on Monday Night Football and then have them go across the country? You're telling me that you couldn't find another team in the National Football League to go play at Green Bay this Sunday instead of the Giants, who are playing in Minnesota tonight? Why don't you give the Packers a month off? Seriously, it's just ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. So if you want to talk about these things, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm getting a lot of text messages about the Kings starting lineup. Hey, listen, there's only one thing I know about the Kings starting lineup, and that is that DeMarcus Cousins is starting at center. All right? That's it. I don't know anything else. I don't know who's starting at point guard. I think Aaron Aflalo will start at two, but I don't know for sure. You would think that Rudy Gay would start at three. I have no idea who's starting at power forward. That's why you have the preseason. You know, and I think Dave Yeager, you know, he's going to play the guys, number one, that are playing hard every game and every practice, and more importantly, guys that are playing defense. I wouldn't be surprised to see him put five guys on the floor, you know, that have showed during training camp and in the preseason games that they're going to play defense every time they're on the floor. I'm really looking forward to the games coming up tomorrow and Thursday, and, of course, on Monday in Sacramento before the Kings go on the road to play the Lakers again in Vegas and the Wizards in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm really looking forward to that. So, you know, and again, I know that many of you listening were at FanFest or were at some of the events last weekend, and I had the opportunity to be in that beautiful Golden 1 Center on Friday again. It's my second time in the building, and I had my wife with me Friday, and just like most people, she was blown away at the beauty and all the amenities, everything so spacious, the comfort. We are so blessed in Sacramento right now to have a venue of this magnitude. We are so lucky, and I know that there are many of you listening that have not had a chance to go in. I saw someone today at the airport telling me that he's got tickets for the 27th and he can't wait to see the new arena. And I was just raving it. I was just going, wow, you're going to be blown away when you get in there. You're going to be blown away when you get in there. So if you've been in there, if you were at FanFest on Saturday, let me know at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Kings, again, will be at home a week from tonight, and so you'll be able to check them out in person, and then they're home for the final preseason game against the L.A. Clippers. All right, baseball, I want to get back to that for a minute. The Giants, the Mets somehow found a way to persevere through all of their injuries, and yet here they are, they're in the wild card, at home with Noah Syndergaard on the hill. But if you're just looking at this matchup, Mets and Giants, if you're going to talk about pitching being what it's all about in baseball, and it is all about, you would think that this is going to be a 1-0 or a 2-1 game. The Giants, they're in a position where they know that they've got a guy on the mound that is not going to be rattled in any way, shape, or form. He is not going to be rattled. Madison Bumgarner is not going to be rattled. Noah Syndergaard last year, you know, again, a lot of experience on that Mets team based on what they did last year. You got to catch the ball. You know, you talk about, you know, making sure that you move a runner over, that when you're asked to bunt, that you can bunt. You got to play flawless in the field. All of the things that it's going to take to get to play the Chicago Cubs. And if you were at AT&T over the weekend, and particularly yesterday, how awesome was it that everyone that walked into the building got thank you Vin cards, and that Vin Scully exited the booth with the grace and class that has been associated with him for 67 years. And here in California, we said so long to two broadcasting legends, both in Southern California, Vin Scully and Dick Enberg, as Dick Enberg did his final game with the San Diego Padres. Everyone has been talking about Vin Scully, as they should. You know how we always say that we'll never see that again? We'll never see another Vin Scully. We'll never see someone that broadcast for one team for 67 years. We'll never see someone that broadcast for 67 years in all likelihood. But yet, down in San Diego, Dick Enberg, born in 1935, 81 years old. And when you think of Dick Enberg, you're thinking about someone that did all sports and did them well, whether it was, you know, the NFL, whether it was Wimbledon, whether it was football, whether it was baseball, whatever, it did not matter. Approximately a 60-year career. Think about that on the same day. On the same day, we say thank you and so long to two of the most amazing legends of their era, Vin Scully and Dick Enberg. Just hard to believe that they both said so long on the same day. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show. All right, Grant Napier back with you at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You can also follow me on Twitter at Grant Napier Show, N-A-P-E-A-R. Let's get to Kevin. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
Kevin, I'm well. What's up?
I wanted to comment on the Golden One Center. It was awesome. We went to Fan Fest. My boy and my girlfriend, we've been season ticket holders, sharing season tickets now for several years, waiting for this moment. And I was so impressed by the type of food that was offered, the great room, as I call it, the great room concept, where when you step away from your seat and you're in line, you still feel like you're there. I like the fact that the food represented Sacramento area restaurant excellence. You know, you've got Perigary's and Selwyn's. I mean, it was awesome, and I can't wait for the season to start.
We're pretty lucky to have a facility like that, aren't we? I mean, we've waited a long time, and this is better than I think anyone could have ever imagined.
Yeah, most definitely. And my girlfriend works right next door. She looks at it all day long. It's the first time I've seen it.
Good for you. Well, I'm happy for you that you had such a phenomenal time, and thanks very much for calling the show, Kevin. Thank you. All right, Mitch, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show. Hi, Mitch.
What's happening, Grant?
Mitch, what's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hey, before I get to the Raiders, I agree with the schedule. It's just ridiculous. You don't get the quality games on Thursday. These games, let these countries get their own. They have plenty of people, plenty of athletic people. They can form their own leagues. I mean, what's next, to have a football game every night? Maybe a Wednesday matinee? It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I don't understand how they do the scheduling. I just don't. What can I do for you?
More part. All right. I was glad that the Raiders should be 4-0, but I guess I'm not going to get too greedy. I'm glad they could also
be 0-4.
That should have been close games. But I'm a little worried about the running. I'm a little worried about their running game. I mean, I thought they had a good. The backups look better than Murray. I mean, when is Murray going to start looking like a Ronnie Hampton or just a good running back?
You know, it will get better. I mean, generally teams will get better as the season goes on. I think the fact that they're 3-1, and I don't think they've played anywhere near the way they're capable of I look at that as a real positive. Obviously, you're going to have to run the ball better, but I don't think it's a major concern right now.
I mean, look, Denver looks good. I don't think that's the true Kansas City that we saw last night. Or San Diego. I mean, Rivers, this guy does it all himself. He just can't play defense. I mean,
well, the problem is they've been decimated by injuries already, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking my call, though.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you. Let's get to Cliff. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, Grant. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening?
All right. Hey, Grant. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Cowboys. Hey, before the season started, I heard you say that you was going to give it a little bit and this and that about the rookie there. I wonder what you think now. How we looking now?
Well, he's not turning the ball over. He's managing the game very well. I still think he is – how do I want to say this? He's not going to be playing when Tony Romo comes back. But he's – you know what? The thing that impresses me the most about Dak Prescott is his poise and that he doesn't panic. You know, he made a lot of throws yesterday that were bad throws to the sideline that went way over the head of receivers. Even Troy Aikman, even Troy Aikman was talking about that, you know, some of the bad throws, but again, for a rookie, for a guy playing in his fourth game, I mean, it's very difficult to criticize him. He's played very well, and again, he's taking care of the football. He's not making mistakes, and he seemingly does not panic when the pocket is collapsing. He seems to have very good pocket awareness, and I think that's a real key for him.
Okay, what I see is when you say manage the game, I was at the game, by the way. Hey, managing the game in that first half, that last drive before halftime, that was not managing the game. He went down there so poised. One thing that you don't see on TV, what he do when number 19, he missed a couple of balls.
Butler,
he went to the sideline like a veteran, picked the guy up, and was telling him certain things to where he's more than just managing the game. He's managing that team.
Yeah. No, I don't mean that. I'm not. Listen, I think you misunderstood me, okay? The point I was trying to make is that in his first 4 weeks of being an NFL quarterback, he's done a marvelous job of managing the game. That's not a negative. That's a positive. He's made the throws when he has to. He hasn't turned the ball over. He doesn't take unnecessary sacks. He's got a tremendous feel for the game. I mean, I'm being very positive. I'm not being negative about the guy.
Right. Okay. Also, too, they're 3-1. I think you didn't have them nowhere near that at the beginning. I listened to your show like from the beginning, and
I didn't have them going 3-1. I didn't have the Cardinals and the Panthers going 1-3 either. You know, it's a long season. They don't give out trophies at the end of four games.
Right. Right. I agree with you. Okay. We'll see you next week. They got a tough one with Cincinnati, so we'll see.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Cliff.
Okay. No problem.
Yep. Bye bye now. Tommy, you're next. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Grant.
What's happening?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to make a comment about Vin Scully, and I like what you said. I don't think that we'll ever see another broadcasting legend like that. It'll be a very, very long time. And then I had the pleasure to be out at the Dodger-Giant game yesterday, and I was talking to a guy next to me, and he did not know that Vin Scully at one time did call the NFL. And,
oh, yeah.
He did an excellent job, not only just a great baseball announcer, but he was a great football and golf announcer as well, and he will be missed. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, there's not much more for me to add. He will be missed. Phenomenal, phenomenal person, almost in a class by himself. Actually, he is in a class by himself when it comes to broadcasting baseball. But as you pointed out, he did a lot of other things and did them very well. Joe, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show. Welcome, Joe.
How you doing, Grant?
Joe, what's happening?
Hey, first of all, I want to take back what I said about DJ Hayden in the past. I've called your show and really kind of took the guy to task, how he's played the first 3 years of his career. But he's really came on and played well, a lot better than I ever thought he could. I always thought he was undersized. He's been playing lights out ball to a defense that started out struggling, but they made a few key moves as far as benching Ben Heaney and starting Corey James.
Yeah,
Corey James shows up on tape big time. He's making plays. He seems to have a high ball IQ. He gets to the point of attack well, and you know he's showing up making tackles that Ben Heaney was not even close to making. And putting Carl Joseph in our number one pick in the secondary,
big
his
difference.
Hitting has came along, and it really shows. Nelson in the backfield with him, that safety position. You know, I think the defense is just scratching the surface. I was really hard on it at the beginning of the year. I was wondering why they were so poor. You know, it just looked really bad, out of sync, out of place. But I'm impressed so far. I know there's just one game they've been playing well. Actually, two decent. Last game, I thought they played well. And as far as the offense, I think we're showcasing one of the better offenses in the league. I mean, I don't want to get, you know, the cart too far in front of the horses, but as a longtime Raider fan, this is the best I've seen the team play in a decade. So I'm really excited about it. I'm pumped about it. And, you know, I can see us winning 10 games this year. We're a chip ball and a couple of plays away from being 4-0. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, Grant. But that's
well, I would also say this, okay? You're very close. You could easily be 0-4, but this team's not 0-4 because they're so much more mature and they're able to handle adversity better than they have. And so that's part of the maturation process. I like what I see. I mean, I know why you're excited, Joe. I appreciate the phone call. You should be excited. There are a lot of things to look forward to if you're a Raider fan. Raymond, you're next here. Hello, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing, Grant? Hey,
what's happening?
Yeah, so I was talking to my cousin the other day about the Niner game, and I just want to get from your perspective. One of my first questions is, when do you think they put in cap?
I don't think the quarterback's the problem. The quarterback's not their problem. Now, do I think Colin Kaepernick could play better than Blaine Gabbert? You know, maybe he could. Could he play a lot better than Blaine Gabbert? I don't think he could. But, again, that's not my call. But I don't think their problem's the quarterback. I think their problems go a lot deeper than
and
the quarterback.
There's many problems across the area on that team. I mean, it was addressed. It was never addressed. I mean, I'm sorry.
Right.
A lot of the needs that they needed were never addressed. And, you know, it,
you know, I don't know if you heard after the game yesterday, Chip Kelly actually praised Blaine Gabbert.
I heard that. And now the first two drives, yes, the first two drives were solid. I know, and they looked really good again. I'm like, you know, yep, maybe there's going to be a home team this year where at home they can perform and on the road they can't. And that's what it looked like in the first half.
Yep.
And then in the second half, it's like, here it comes again. Can't convert third downs. Ball's getting thrown in the dirt. Ball's getting thrown way too overhead. And I'm just like, dude, what happens to him? Why does he get shooken? Because I know it's not all the quarterback. I know it's not. But when you have an offensive line where they've only given up, two sacks on the season, maybe three, what's going on behind the line of scrimmage? I know your receivers are very untalented. Torrey Smith is a number two, and that's being honest. He's a number two because he doesn't run the physical across the middle routes where you have to make the third down catches. That's not him.
And the pass that, you know, Gabbert missed Torrey Smith, you know, on a post pattern, that's got to be a touchdown there. I mean, it just does. He underthrew him, and it got picked off. He had two steps, and that was his worst throw of the game. And you know what? That's a huge mistake right there. That's gigantic in that game. That's a huge mistake by Gabbert.
So, I know you got to get to the next call. So just wanted to give you another little thing. Isn't it crazy the history of this franchise, though? Because when you think about it, this happened in 2004 where you had a terrible GM, started drafting terribly. We missed an entire draft with Balky. That whole entire 2011 draft is completely gone. So, when you think back to history, it's like it's repeating itself. We lost Julian Peterson. Now we're losing Navarro Bowman. It's like, what the hell is going
on? Terrible.
All of a sudden, I just feel like I'm back in high school again. I was in high school when all this happened. 2-14 season.
It's going to be a long year. Hey, I got to roll, but I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. We'll be right back here on the Grant Napier Show. We're going to get you to Monday Night Football. A little less than an hour, we'll get you to the Twin Cities for the Vikings trying to go 4-0 as they take on the New York Giants. We'll have all the action for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, or you can call 800-920-1140. Somebody wanted to know what I thought the best part of the new Golden One Center was that I saw. You know, I can't really say what the best part is because there are so many phenomenal. First of all, I haven't even seen the whole building. There are things that I'm not even aware of that exist that I haven't even checked out yet. But the sight lines are phenomenal. The scoreboard is just out of this freaking world. I mean, it is incredible. The scoreboard is going to enhance the enjoyment of the game. It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's going to be incredible. Just I guess the aesthetics of it all. I mean, when you first walk in, it's like, wow, you know, this is beautiful. It's kind of like the first impression It's like, man, it's very pleasing to the eye. They've done a phenomenal job with the lighting scheme and the color scheme. And it's, you know what? Vivek Ranadive said this. He said that they were going to build the most innovative and technologically advanced building in the world. And they've done that. You know what? He's done that. He and his ownership group and the architects and the construction workers and everybody else, they've done that. You know, I know we've had Chris Granger on, the president of the Kings, and he talked to us about, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, what the end result was going to be. And they've delivered on everything. They have absolutely delivered on everything. And now all that's left is to put a good basketball team in there, because they're lining up all the concerts, you know, Paul McCartney tomorrow, and on Wednesday, you know, Maroon 5, Jimmy Buffett, just to get going here in the month of October. They're going to be, you know, some of the top musicians in the world coming in, you know, the ice show, the circus, everything else that's going to be happening. Downtown Sacramento, the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Now it's just up to Vlade Divac and his staff, you know, to put a good team on the floor. And hopefully that happens sooner rather than later. So if you want to talk about that, again, if you were at FanFest on Saturday, you know, I would love to hear from you, because it was the first opportunity for many, many to go in there and look at the beautiful new Golden 1 Center. If you are a fan of the Giants, I mean, you can't ask for anything more. Doesn't matter that the game is on the road. Makes no difference. Madison Bumgarner has a road ERA in the postseason, you know, of 0.06, all right? 0.060. I don't think you have to worry, you know, about whether he's going to pitch well or not. I can't imagine, you know, Madison Bumgarner, all right? I cannot imagine him not throwing a gem. Noah Syndergaard is going to have to do the same thing. Obviously, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be encouraged that Brandon Belt finally, you know, looks like he's starting to hit the ball. That is a huge plus. You know, that ballpark at Citi Field, you know, again, not a lot of balls fly out of there. You know, the premium is on pitching, and you've got two really good pitchers. But the one guy you've got going that's going to be in the road uniform, no one's been better than him in the history of baseball on the road. Nobody. All right? Nobody. So, you know, take solace in that if you're a Giants fan. You know, obviously you're going to have to score. We get that. But you may only have to score one run. That's what we've seen from Madison Bumgarner in the past. You may only have to throw, you may only have to score one run. So it should be a lot of fun. That game is coming up for you on Wednesday. We've got Kings basketball, as I said, coming up for you tomorrow, as we will be in Anaheim for the Kings and the Lakers, and then we'll be in San Jose Thursday for the Kings and the Golden State Warriors. So if you want to talk Kings basketball, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And if you want to talk, you know, about the Darren Collison suspension, eight games for Darren Collison. Your thoughts on that? He will miss the first, obviously, three games, with two of the three at home, and then the five-game road trip. And that's pretty much what I think the organization felt he would get in the neighborhood of, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. I mean, it's very difficult to predict, but clearly that's a big loss, not having Darren Collison on the floor for the first 8 games of the year. So if you want to mention that, we can do so. Coming up in hour number two, right at the top of the hour at about 4:02, we're going to talk with Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee. We'll talk to him about Navarro Bowman's injury. We'll talk to him about the quarterback situation and the ineptitude shown by this team yesterday in front of their hometown fans, but there were more Cowboy fans there than 49er fans, so much so that even Joe Buck was talking about it throughout the game. It's pretty embarrassing when the number one announcer for Fox has got to point out repeatedly how many fans are there for the other team. That's about as bad as it gets. All right, we'll take the time out. This is the Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140 KHTK.